Just because we're here doesn't mean we're not sluggish. I've been sluggish for about the last 24 hours. Good luck. I got to keep me awake. Yeah, it's one of those things. We only ate once yesterday at the Skyvers. It started at 10 and didn't end until midnight. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 9. And while you're turning there, I have three nuggets of wisdom and profundity. You will enjoy this. This is something you need to instill in your psyche. Number one, a train stops at the train station. Number two, a bus stops at the bus station. Number three, at my desk is a workstation. Number two, you'll get that later on, you'll laugh. Tough crowd, we're still sluggish. Number two, light travels faster than sound. I thought of Jim Samuel when I saw this one. Light travels faster than sound. That's why people appear bright until they speak. And preachers do a lot of speaking, so you can, amen. Number three, and this is the last nugget of wisdom and profundity. The early bird may truly get the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. All right, now let's try to be spiritual. The title of the message this morning, Brother John, it is He that talketh with thee. It is He that talketh with thee. If you'll stand with me, John chapter 9. We're going to read one verse. Verse number 37. The Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." What a wonderful scripture passage this is. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Bobby, would you lead us to the Lord, please? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. We're going to backtrack and we're going to touch on this whole chapter. The chapter begins in verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" We're going to lay a few blocks of foundation here. This arises a lot of times in your Christian walk, especially in soul winning or things of that nature, that people will ask you, "Well, good things have happened to bad people. What bad thing, or bad things have happened to good people, what bad thing did they do to make this bad thing happen to them?" Christian, I hope you understand that bad things that happen to you have nothing to do with bad things that you may have done. I'm not saying that you haven't done bad things, and I'm not saying that the Lord has not chastened you from time to time, because a good father does chasten his children. However, I have a very hard time dealing with people that deal in God punishment. I have a hard time dealing with people that automatically run to, "Well, you did this, that's why God did this." Because what that does is it puts them in the position of understanding God. And I got to be honest with you, I know a lot of you, and a lot of you are very intelligent people, but I dare say that none of your intellectual all put together adds up to God's higher ways. Got to believe that none of you in this room know what God's going to do in the next 10 minutes. Got to believe that none of you in this room had your life all figured out, and then God did what you asked. Got to believe that God is not a genie in a lamp that you can just rub and command him to do whatever it is that you would like him to do. I bet that if I would go around the room and ask for a raising of hands, that God may have put something in your road that was a trial lately. I bet you every hand would go up, and some of you too, and maybe even raise your feet. But you must understand this. In this particular passage, this is a man, and I can't even come to grips with how this would be. He had never seen. He had never opened his eyes and captured a glimpse. He had never seen the blue sky. And we very seldom see it here. But he'd never seen a blue sky. He never laid his eyes on his mother's face. He never saw green grass. He never saw a child playing. He never saw the beautiful flowers of springtime. He never saw the meadows that were laid out before him in God's wondrous splendor. And the first question that people would come up with was, well, who sinned? Was it him? Or was it his parents? Now, I don't know everything that happens in everybody's life, and there may be times, like I said, that the Lord chastens you. But I read in the scriptures a lot more times where God is highly merciful. God is highly patient. God is highly understanding. And yes, there have been times in my life that I believe I've recognized where God has said, hello. Where God has said, hey, are you in there? I believe there's times that God has put the brakes on me for a minute and said, wait a minute, preacher. Why in the world are you doing this? You know you're not supposed to. I believe that God has done that. But I also believe this, that God has put things in my life as trials and tribulations to give him glory. And I've got to believe in our lives, somewhere along the line, these things have happened where we can genuinely say, thank God this trial came. I got to ask you a question. If we had victory every time, it would cease to be victory. Oh, it's good to win. I don't like to lose. I avoid losing if at all possible. But I must admit I have lost from time to time. I must admit there's been days when I wasn't at my best and I failed on the field of battle. But I also have to admit that even though I failed, I've had victory. And because of the failure, I know the difference. See, in your Christian walks, if you're saved in here today, God wrought a victory in you. Now, that victory was wrought in the midst of a lost person. You know the difference. Because being the difference between a lost person and a saved person, inside them, they know. If any man be in Christ, you know. You don't have to proclaim it to the world. I'm a saved person. You know. What's great about it is, it's something between you and God that does not have to be proven to anybody else. Think about that for a minute. Now, you ought to want to, but you proving it to somebody else does not make you more saved. You proving it to somebody else does not make it better. What it makes it is obedient. You telling people that you're saved, you telling people that you need Jesus Christ just like I got him, you coming to grips with the fact that we've got a job to do makes it great. But it doesn't change your salvation. That victory has been won. Amen. Glory to God. This man was blind from his birth. No fault of his own. Matter of fact, the Bible explains to you in the next couple of verses exactly why. If you look at verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I got to thinking about that. How amazing would it be if your salvation was a work of God manifest in you so other people could see the great work that God hath done? Has God given you victory? Has God given you a victory from time to time? What happens in our lives is we forget them. What happens in our lives is we forget the great things that God hath done. And we say, what have you done for me lately? I love to preach that if God does nothing else for you, He's done too much. I love to preach how if God never performs another miracle in your life, He's done enough. I know who I was. My dad's in the crowd today, and he would tell you I was a good boy. You've had me for 17 years. I would bet you disagree. But the Lord did something in me at 11 years old and wrought a wonderful victory. And He's been wrought victories in my life ever since. If you look at this man, the Bible says in verse 4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man could work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. This man is blind from his birth, never opened his eyes, never beheld a face, and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. He came seeing. Now understand this. This man has never seen in his life. And he came seeing. That's a difference, isn't it? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. So in his victory, excuse me, he can't wait to tell folks. I bet you'd be pretty excited too. If you were once blind and now you're seeing, I'm sure you'd run home and say, Mama, look. And I got to tell you, if Jesus made his eyesight right, he wasn't looking for glasses to put on. He wasn't looking for LASIK. Brother, when Jesus makes your eyesight right, you're better than 20/20.
Amen.
Not a ophthalmologist, but I got to believe better than 20/20 is pretty good. I won't take, excuse me, I won't take time to go into all the verses. But he goes to his neighbors. Look! I imagined you much taller. Could you imagine? I imagined you much taller. Go over to his neighbor, the old crotchety old woman. Man, I imagined you meaner than you really are. Go over to his neighbor. Man, I'm seeing you. I meant you to keep that dog out of my yard. Going over to the next neighbor, say, man, it sure is great to see you.
Amen.
And the neighbors say, what? Aren't you the guy that was blind? Yep, I was him. I look at my own life, and I'll go back to this several times. I look at my own life, and man, how blind was I? Man, how blind was I? I still walk seeing through a glass darkly, amen? Can't wait to see face to face. But I walk through life with looking through a glass darkly, but I see. I've always had good eyesight. Been pretty excited about that, actually. 40 years old, no gray hair, no glasses. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm principal of a school, girl. I should have had gray hair a long time ago. Instead, the Lord is receding the line. It won't be long. My wife told me it won't be long, honey. Well, know this, I'm not wearing a toupee. I'm not putting on any kind of hair implants. I'm not cultivating a field in the back to plant in the front. If I go Kojak, I won't go back. Amen? The neighbors, therefore, verse 8, and they which before had seen him that he was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. I'm the one. I was blind, but now I see. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I know not. I don't know where he is. I just know what he did. So then they took him to the preacher. Now I'm telling you these things because I want you to understand something. God gives you miracles. I would to God we'd see it. Don't go through life like this. I'm a Christian, glory to God, but he's never done anything for me. You've already had something done for you. But every day in your life, if you'd be honest and you'd sit and think about the things that God has done with you, for you, through you, you'd have to believe that God has done a wonderful work through you and continues to work even to this day. And if he's not working with you, through you, for you, what are you doing? What are you doing? We've got a battle here. We need all hands on deck. What are you doing? This man came telling people, Miss Debbie, telling them, look, I was blind, now I see. Well, it looks like him, but I don't know that it's him. He was a beggar and blind a minute ago. I don't know if this is him. Let's take him to the preacher. Now understand, Pharisees don't equate to Baptist preachers. Amen. Don't misread me. But they took him to the people they knew as the religious leaders. Took him to the religious leaders, and the religious leaders said, how'd this happen? Because, not because they cared about the miracle, but because they cared about their turf being infringed on. Right. We can't do nothing like this. Who did this? Because we got to get him out of the picture quick. Right. Take him over to the Pharisees and eventually to the Jews. They took him to his neighbors first. He went to his neighbors begging them to come see this man. He come to the neighbors and said, look at what he's done. Look at what he's done. I would to God we'd go out and say, look at what he's done. I would to God we'd go out and say, glory to God, look at what he's done with my life. I would to God we'd do that. Not look at what I've done. Look at what I've done with Christ by my side. That's the Pharisees that say that. Look at what he's done through this old dirty wretch. Look at what he's done through me. He's done and not me. I'm not worth anything. Good night in the morning if you feel you're worth anything. Listen, I like this. Most Christians that come to church have a beautiful paint job on the outside of the house, but inside the plumbing's leaking. Oh, you may not see the pipes dripping, but they're dripping. And we might not be able to see how you are, but there is one that does. Oh, see, now it's Christmas. Why are you doing this, brother? Every time you preach, you get mean. Come to Sunday school. I'm much nicer there. God did a wonderful miracle through this man, and nobody believed him. Nobody believed him. I'm going to say this, and you need to let me finish. I went on Facebook for 2 weeks a long time ago. And at first, and by the way, I hate Facebook. You can like that, lump it. I don't care what you tell me. I don't like it. And you ought not be on it. The kids over here, they'd stab me with a javelin if they could right now. The teenagers, they're all looking at me, aren't they? Look at them. Look at them. They haven't paid attention the whole message, brother, but now they're looking, right? I got on Facebook. And what happens is, and I like this thought. It never stays here, by the way. And you can tell me all you want to about your Christian activities on Facebook, but I got on there and I started to connect with my old high school. That was neat. I thought that was awesome. I talked to guys that I haven't talked to in over, good Lord, years. No gray hair, no glasses. Remember that. But a long time ago, I went to high school. I talked to these guys and they all, you know, what are you doing with your life? You hesitate for just a moment. Do I tell them what I'm really doing? I said, amen, I'm going to tell them. I'm a Baptist preacher. Enter. Well, that's great, and I haven't heard from him since. Can I ask you something? I have friends that I guarantee you that if I would see today would not believe the miracle that God has done. I guarantee you if you would talk to some of your friends that you used to have, they would not believe what the miracle that God has done. Can I ask you something? Does that mean he didn't do it? No, he did the miracle. He saved me. I was a mess. Still a mess, now saved mess. Alcohol was my friend. Doing bad things was my way. Then Jesus did a miracle in me. Being blind was his way. Living that life of not being able to see was his thing. That's what he was. That's what the people saw him as. And when God did something great, the people around didn't want to see the miracle because then they have to admit that God is. Took him to his neighbors. His neighbors didn't believe him. Now, how in the world do you live next to somebody day in and day out knowing he's blind and a beggar? First of all, why is he begging when he's got neighbors? If your neighbor comes out and starts begging, give him something to eat. Come on. I don't mind you passing up the guy that says we'll work for food on the corner and you don't know him from Adam and he drives away in an Escalade with your $2. By the way, I've seen it's true. These guys sit on the corner. We'll work for food. You know you're not going to work him. Look at how he's dressed. You're not going to hire the man. You're going to give him some change. And he drives away 3 blocks off in an Escalade. They did a story on that, by the way. I saw it. I couldn't believe it. But if it's your neighbor, Brother Kataver, I got to believe you know who your neighbor is. And if you don't, are you a Christian and you can't knock on the door? Don't, I can't witness, I'm too scared. So don't, just tell him who you are. Hello. Amen. And if you see that guy come out and he's begging, man, give him a loaf of bread. Giant Eagle, 70 cents. See, you got to understand something. The Lord will put people in your path that we should deal with. The question is, do we want to take the time to deal with them? God saved you. He couldn't save himself. Maybe we can help others just a little bit. Remember Christmas time? Just a little bit. Neighbors were there, so I'm begging. And would not admit that that's who that was. No, no, we liked you better as the beggar. We liked you better as the drinker.
Yeah, right.
We liked you better when you were smoking pot. We liked you better when you told the dirty jokes. Unless you still do. Unless you are still drinking, unless you are still smoking dope. Amen. Wonderful Christmas time. God has wrought a wonderful miracle in you. Don't be surprised when people don't believe it. Don't be surprised when people don't want to accept it. And these are the people that are close to you. Now, it's a sad day when somebody has something great happen in their lives. And I'm going to give you an example that just happened last night. I wasn't going to use this as an illustration, but boy, it sure worked out good. Thank you, Lord. We go to the hospital last night. We get there, and the Greaves are upset. Their boy was hurting, and there's nothing you could do. I mean, could you imagine having your child ill, and there's nothing you can do? Holding that baby boy, trying, baby boy's 13, but holding him, trying to, everything's all right. And then he told us, and I was so excited. He told us, Brother Dave, preacher, he started going into these convulsions, and when he did, I got on my knees, and I said, God, please help my boy. And he said, he came to immediately.
Amen.
Now, preacher and I could have sat there and said, well, that was just great timing. A wonderful coincidence. His body must have compensated. Obviously, it was a physical phenomenon. No, you know what preacher said? Glory to God.
Amen.
See, he brought us this great miracle. And you may not think that's a miracle, but when your child comes out of a seizure and wakes up, thank God. And preacher says, glory to God. God brought him out. And I was thanking God that Mr. Greaves saw that it was God.
Yeah.
You know what happens in our lives as Christians? We stop seeing God. We stop seeing God. How am I going to make it another day? And God helps you through another day. And you say, well, thank God I went out and worked hard. Yeah. Oh, glory to God. I have this job and I got a paycheck because I'm a great worker. No, you got a job because God gave you the knowledge and the ability. And because he gave you the knowledge and the ability, then he provided employment for you. And you better be the best worker in there because God did provide all that for you. Yep. The blind man was giving, or the ex-blind man, the man seeing very well now, was giving God the glory. And nobody would believe him. The Pharisees took him in front of the Jews, and the Jews finally said, away with you. Away with you. Let me give you a little side note. My buddies in high school said, away with you. They did.
Yeah.
They don't want to be with me anymore.
Right.
Jesus freak. Sicko. We want to sit around and party. I can't do that anymore. I serve another fountain.
Amen.
I don't have time. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I want to become something different. Why? Because Jesus Christ saved me and died for me, and I want to start serving him. Away with you. Away with you. It's not God. You're just a freak. I brought my salvation before my friends and they sent me away saying it must not be God. This man was blind, now he sees. He had a physical proof that God was great. And they said, where's Jesus? Where's this man? Where is this guy? And you know what they were doing? They were following him, Brother Dave. They were following him, seeing if he'd lose his sight. I guarantee it. You know why? Because I know you. I know me. And the minute somebody says that God did something miraculous, you can't wait to see if the pain comes back. Well, Jesus saved me out of alcohol. You can't wait to see the Christian go back and drink again. God saved me out of this life, and then you can't wait to see the Christian go back. Why? Because you want to prove that it really wasn't God. This blind man was able to see, and people knew that he was able to see. People knew that he was blind, and he had proof of this by being able to see. Finally, he gets tired of telling the story of how. How did you gain your sight? How did you do? I don't know. He rubbed this mud in my eye, and I went and washed it, and then I could see. That doesn't make any sense. You were a drinker, Mr. Ballard. You were a rock and roller, not a stoner. I never did drugs. I was scared to death of them. But you were a rock and roller. It must not be God. You just decided to get sick of it. No, I never got sick of it. I never got sick of it. I was happy with it. Just like you're happy with your sin.
Yeah, right.
But God has wrought a wonderful miracle in you. He answered, verse 27. He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? The blind man saying, hey, believe in Christ. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. I got news for you. Moses was Jesus' disciple too. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, hearing is a marvelous thing that ye know not. By the way, this man was blind. Now he's seeing. And it seems to me his words are seeing far deeper than his eyesight could ever go. The man answered and said unto them, why, hearing is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Well, Brother Dave, there it is right there. He can't hear the lost man. That's not what that says. That's not what that says. Look, let's read this again. Because I hear people tell me this all the time. He can't hear a sinner's prayer. You better hope he heard it. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. And it gives you another sentence here. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will. What's his will, Christian? For you to be saved. If you worship God and do His will and get saved, He hears you. Look at this, verse 32. I love this. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Never heard of anybody that could do this. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Listen to that now. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. The reason is this. You go back to the first verse, it talks about his sin. Well, what sin did he do to make him blind? Well, he's not going to add sin on top of that to get his sight back. It doesn't work that way. God doesn't let you sin to get saved. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. It must not be God. It must be of the devil that you changed your life. Hogwash. I changed my life because Christ made a change in me. Doesn't make any sense to keep on sinning to make God look good. Good night and a morning. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? Amen. Amen. Let me tell you what I can teach you. I can teach you that I was once lost, but now I'm found. Amen. I can teach you that I was blind, but now I see.
Yeah.
I can teach you that I don't know from where he came either, but I used to not be able to see, but now I can, and I don't like what I'm looking at. I don't know what had happened, but I do know this, that a man came and did this wonderful miracle in my life, and I'm not going to be silent. And they cast him out. I tell you, if you still are in the circle of your old friends, I worry. I don't mean you can't have your old friends. I just worry if you're still hanging with them. I worry because I used to have drinking buddies. I don't hang with them anymore.
Amen.
You know who I hang with? You.
Amen.
Why? Not because you're great people, although you are, but because we're Christians.
Right.
That's what we do.
Amen.
So now, listen to me. Now he's alone. Now, wait a minute. They took him to his neighbors. Surely he would find love there. Surely he would find acceptance there for the great miracle that God. No, we're going to take you to the preacher. Surely he'll go to the religious leaders and they will embrace this wonderful miracle, Brother Rod, as God is still living and great. Oh no, they kicked him to the Jews. And the Jews said, get him out of here. They reviled him and threw him out. Now he's alone. Can you read a couple of verses with me? Look at this now. Jesus heard. Man alive, isn't that a wonderful promise? Jesus heard. I'm an outcast. Jesus heard. They don't like me. Jesus heard. They don't care about my salvation or about my preaching to them. God heard. And they had cast him out. Or Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord? Because he hadn't seen him yet. His eyes never beheld Christ yet. He was covered with mud, remember? He went and washed his hand, washed his eyes and then received his sight. Can you imagine finally staring at the face of the one that gave you sight? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Oh, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. What has the Lord done for you? What has the Lord done for you? I'm not saying that everybody's going to appreciate what God has done for you. I'm not saying that you're going to be readily accepted for the things that God has done for you. I'm not saying when you go soul winning, everybody's going to be excited about you once were being blind, but now you see. I'm not saying that going out and telling everybody about him is going to receive open arms and glad hands. But that doesn't stop the miracle.
Amen.
Well, Brother Dave, why in the world won't people accept Christ? Because they can't see. The Lord talks about it. He talks about it later with the man saying, you were blind and you were blind, now you see. You were seeing. You thought you knew. That's what he's saying to them. You thought you knew. You thought you knew the right way. You thought you knew what to do. You thought you knew. And by the way, everybody that serves in a different religion believes they're right. They believe they're right. They believe they see. They believe they know what's going on, but they never see Christ. And they seeing don't believe and are truly blind. This man that was blind saw because Christ anointed his eyes. But it wasn't the act of anointing that made him see. It was the fact that later on he saw Christ and believed in him. And he was alone. There are times that you'll get victory and you'll be the only one that hears the shouts. Christian, you got to hear this. There's going to be times when you're the only one that hears the shouts of glory when you receive victory. Except one more person, Brother Kataira. Except one more. Because in that verse, I believe I'm right, that it said Jesus heard. That great and wonderful victory that you received from Jesus Christ. Do you see the victories? Do you see what's coming? Do you see that it was great that God did a wonderful miracle? Do you see it? Then praise God. It doesn't matter what everybody else says, Brother Kataira. I don't care. Though everyone forsake me, I'm going to trust in him. Hey, Job was left alone. Everybody. But Christ forsook him. Christ never forsook Job. He was always there. How can I do great wickedness and sin against God? You can't, because Christ loves you and he's there. He heard you. He sees you. Do you see what he's trying to do through you? I don't need approval of men to know that God is working through me. Don't need it. You could kick me out today, and the vast majority, it's only 11:45 and I'm almost done. The vast majority say, Brother Dave, you do need to leave. Because it's the day after Christmas and I'm tired. Hey, I was at the hospital at 2:00 in the morning. Don't talk to me about tired. It may not be the easiest thing to know that God did something great. But know this, it doesn't change the fact that you've got a great God. God, did you tell me? God, did you show me? God, did you work through me? And God whispers back to you, it is he that talketh with thee. It is he that talketh. And I understand there's times when people get crazy. I was in the spirit and the spirit led me to here and the spirit did this. And you're no more in the spirit than you are in a caravan of gypsies. I don't know how to tell you, but a lot of people think that it's the spirit that's talking to them, and it's not. But when God does something great in your life, I believe you'll know. I believe you'll see if you're looking. And they may be small. I love this. I recite this often because one of my favorite hymns. Could we withink the ocean fill? Or were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It will forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. I'm so excited that he loves me so much that he continues to work through me, continues to do things for me. And if you'll be honest, Christian, you can see that he's done a great work in you. And although the whole world turns their back, he hears you. Even though the whole world doesn't believe the great change that God has made in you, he still made the change. I have one more question. I'm all done. The blind man saw. And he had no trouble seeing the difference that was made in his life. And by the way, his neighbors didn't have any trouble seeing the difference. They had trouble believing how it happened. The Pharisees didn't have any trouble seeing that he sees now. They just had trouble believing how it happened. Christian, do your neighbors know that you've had a great change? Do the people around you know that you've had a great change? Do the people you walk with, talk with, do they know it is He that talketh with thee? Or are you living in this world, acting like this world, so you don't get cast out? Because I've got to be honest with you. I'd rather be cast out. I'd rather be cast out and be standing here with Jesus alone than go back to where I was blind. Because it is he that talketh with me. I hope and pray that He's talking with you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank You. I thank You, Lord, that even though the world casts us out, the world, we're a peculiar people. We don't have to work hard to be set apart, Lord. Just the uttering of Your name. Lord, please help us to be set apart. Help us to be peculiar. Help us to not be satisfied with being blind. Help us to desire to see You, to hear You. Help us to desire to have You with us. Help us to desire to invite You to walk with us and talk with us. Help us to desire to be that new creature that You have made us. Lord God, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice today knows You as Savior. I pray that they've had that wonderful work, that wonderful miracle done in them where they once were blind, but now they see. And Lord God, I hope and pray that we work very hard to understand that we have a job to do, because it truly is You that talk with us. Lord, I pray that we want to hear You. I pray that we want You to come. I pray that we want to live the life that You want us to live. Lord God, I thank You from the depths of my heart that You did that wonderful miracle in me that saved my soul. Lord, I am not worthy to do anything for You. I'm not worthy to have You do anything through me. I'm not worthy, Lord, that You went to the cross and You died for me. I'm not worthy, Lord, that You were born for me. But Lord God, all of those things were part of the great and wonderful miracle called salvation. And I thank You. I thank You from the depths of my heart, Lord, that You've begun a good work in us. And You're going to be faithful to complete it. Lord, help us today to look to You. And I pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Preacher.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder if your eyes been open. Has Jesus touched you? Has He opened you, your eyes to see truth? Have you been saved, born again? When you really study that, Pastor Dave didn't have a short time of message here, but when you study that, you'll see that blind man, he first said Jesus was a good man. Then he called Him a prophet. He saw Him as religious. But at the end, as Pastor Dave brought out, he saw Him as Lord, Savior. You know, a lot of people think about Jesus in a lot of different ways. He's a good person. He's a religious person. A prophet. But that don't get you to heaven. You got to see Him as your Savior. A Savior that you personally need. A Savior that you need to have Him touch you and open up your eyes so you can see. How many could say, Pastor, I know for sure there was a day I saw myself a lost sinner and I realized I needed Christ as my Savior, and I've asked Christ to come out and save me. I know for sure I'm a saved Christian. Could you raise that hand? I'm positive. Thank You. You may put Him down. Would there be any today that say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm really not sure. I'm really not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. By the way, if your life hasn't changed, good chance you haven't found Christ yet. I'm not preaching works. I remember, as Pastor Dave was preaching, I remember after I got saved, the guys I used to run around with, they said, you're no fun no more. You don't want to do what we used to do. It's because Jesus opened my eyes. You'll never see the wrong until he does open them for you. And that's through the new birth. Maybe you'd be here today and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to miss out on heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. Just raise your hand and put it back down. Pray. Yes, sir. That took courage. Yes. God bless you. God saw that hand. I thought of a song that the girls sang. If you notice, as Pastor Dave preached, he said at the end there, Jesus heard, and Jesus came to that man that was once blind. They sing a song, he came to me. When I could not come to him, he came to me. You can't get to heaven by yourself. You need Christ to take you to heaven. Today you could let Christ, who's coming to you today, that's why your heart is moving, and you could say, Jesus, open my eyes, save my soul, forgive me of all my sin, take me to heaven when I die. One last thing, Christian, what kind of life are we? What do people see in our life? Christian, do people really see that Christ opened our eyes? Or maybe we just need to get a closer walk with God. How many say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'll be honest with you. I've not shown Christ a lot. I need a closer walk with the Lord. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes. God bless you. Yes. 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 Heavenly Father, thank you for what we heard. There's still blind men here today. I believe some light has come into their eyes. Help them totally to be able to see. I pray people be saved today. I know there were some that raised their hand. Give them faith in the Son of God that they might know him as their personal Savior. Help Christians to have a walk where people see miracles that Christ has done in our life. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.